within the past year. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I visited a cemetery. In that cemetery was two fresh graves. One was a young man about 17 years old. Another was not altogether young, but a fairly young mother of about 50. We spent a little time in that cemetery just walking around and looking at the different grave headstones. And of course, we didn't know any of the people besides those two. But we looked at the dates, when they were born, when they died. And we noticed at various places throughout that cemetery that it looked like a whole family, or at least several children. And maybe, not sure, mother and father, but they were buried there. They had died all within the same year or close to that. I don't want to start this message with a morbid cast to it, but rather I just want to bring to our attention the fact that life passes and we never know when it will end. And when it's done, there's nothing more to do. I just want to make that point. Let's all stand for prayer before we get started. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We don't have any other way to come. We don't have any other right to ask. We are here because of what he did, who he is, and the fact of what he did is what he is still doing today. He is interceding for us. He interceded for us back there on Calvary, and he's still doing that today because he is alive. Forever alive. I pray, Lord, that you would humble our hearts this morning. Open our ears to hear. And allow that Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to speak into our lives and our hearts. It's why we're here. It's what life is about. So we pray, Father, that you would do what you can do, what you will do, and help us to accept that. Help us to hear. Because, Father, we want to live every day as if it might be our last, but that it might honor you. We pray, Lord, help us to do so. And that we might be at least a little encouraged today to do more of that, to every day live our life in an honor to you for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. Several things I'd like to talk about this morning, but the basis of my thought is this. Last brothers' meeting, we talked about whitelist and internet and how to help ourselves and our young people do right and stay out of sin and not be distracted with worldly things and all those kind of things. We just talked about some of those kind of things. And it was good. It's good to talk about those things. But I'd like to go a little deeper, if I could, this morning. I'd like to talk about, I'm going to title the message, In Christ. I'd like to talk about my concern in my heart is this, that I want myself, to have a heart that doesn't desire any of those kinds of things. I don't need the roadblocks. Not saying they're bad. We all need them. But I want my heart, my burden is that somehow we could get a hold of something that's deeper, that makes me not want those things. That I don't need, that I can put them in place and it's good that they're in place, but I don't need those blocks. I don't need those things. That's my heart this morning. I want to try to encourage us that there is a way that we can somehow get a hold of something so deep and so motivating and so moving and so bonding in our hearts that we don't want those things. We don't want to be distracted. That's the motivation of the message this morning. And I think the answer is, for what I'm talking about, is to be in Christ. Not in the flesh. We're in the world. We can't avoid that. We're here. When I say world, we're living. But we're not, but my heart and desire and burden is that we might be able to deal with those things inside the heart so that they don't come out. So that they're not an issue. Okay. And I'll say this again. I'm not at all saying we should not have any brotherhood agreements or rules or standards. I'm not at all saying that. I think they're good. I just want to go deeper than that, to where those things are out there and they're in place, but for me, they have no purpose because my aim is something different. My goal is something different. My motivation, the very thing that makes me do whatever I do, is different. That's the essence of my message this morning. Whether or not we can get that accomplished, we'll see. I only want that somebody might be encouraged and inspired to take that root that's there that makes my heart selfish, that makes my heart wander, that makes my eyes look where they shouldn't look, whatever it may be. Take that root out and put a new root there. A root that bears fruit that's beautiful. That's I could sit down right now. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's sing together. I think it's number 454. It is, "Oh, to be like thee." I want to read you that song. I find myself, I don't know if any of you do or not, I find myself singing the songs and singing the melody and enjoying the harmony and singing that sometimes. And it's just beautiful. It's pleasant to my ear. Not really listening or thinking about what I'm really saying. I suppose probably there's a lot of us like that. I do that. But this morning I listened carefully to what we were singing. And I'd like to read this song to you, this poem, song. And as you sing it, think about what we're saying. Is this your desire? And if not, why not? What do I need to change? Those kind of thoughts. Oh, to be like thee. Can that flow out of our heart this morning, out of your heart? Oh, to be like thee. This, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Constant longing. I thought about giving you all a little test for yourselves, not for anybody else, and putting the standard up here of the number five thing would be perfect in Christ. The number one thing would be uncaring, just simply without Christ, without a care. But I knew that none of us were there. So I thought maybe I'd bring it down to number five being my constant longing in prayer. Number one being, I know what I should do, but I'm not doing it. And rating yourself, where are you at in between there? And maybe you could do that. But my point being, there is a place for us to analyze ourselves and to be honest with ourselves, and just to, so we can see who we are. Let's read on. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Gladly I'll let go of all earth's treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. He did. He let loose of all his earthly treasures, so to speak. Up to the second verse. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Is that me? Is that us? No accusation, just simply asking the question. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit. This is who he was. Lowly in spirit, holy, harmless, patient, and brave. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches, which we don't very often have that. I don't. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches. In other words, undeserved reprimands, undeserved accusations. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches. Willing to suffer others to save. Willing to suffer. Willing to suffer others to save. What kind of a root do you have? What kind of a fruit is on your tree? Is it these kinds of fruits? These are the kinds of fruits that come out of the person who doesn't need the roadblocks. It's fine that they're there. And we're all at different places. But these kinds of people will have a heart that seeks only to love the Lord and to do His will and His will alone. Not mine, but His. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I'm coming now to receive the anointing divine. I'm coming, Lord, and asking that you would give me this kind of a heart. I am opening myself up. I am willing to dig out my roots. I'm willing to show my roots. I'm willing to cut them off and cast them out. I'm willing to plant a new tree. Lord, all that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. All shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Let's sing. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. You might see me walking up the sidewalk someday out here, and you might see me walk into the building, and then you won't see me anymore. What you'll see is the building. You won't see me. You'll see the building. That's what it means to be in Christ. You don't see me. You see who I am in. You see Christ. Everything you do, everything you say, every attitude you have, everything that people see is Christ when you're in Christ. I know that's a high standard, and I know that we all want to be in Christ, and we would say we're in Christ, and amen. But let's get real. Let's say, what do they see? You know, self has a lot to do with our life, myself, and all of the ugly things that come with it, the things I want, the things I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be here, I want to go there, I want to have this, all those kind of things, and at the expense of others. Selfishness is one great deep root that needs to be dealt with. And I don't want to just talk about getting the bad roots out, but I do need to talk about those a little bit. I'll tell you a little story I read. I can't tell you it's true. It's just a story that teaches a little lesson. I'll read it to you here. A group of salesmen were once rushing through an airport, hurrying to catch their plane. In their rush, one of the salesmen knocked over a table holding a display of baskets of apples. The apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, because they were in a hurry, they had a plane to catch, they reached the plane, the gate, in time to board the plane. That is, all but one. All but one man. He paused, took a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him. He waved goodbye and said he'd catch a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal there, where the apples were all over the floor. How glad he was that he had the 16-year-old girl crying and helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowds whirled around her was totally blind. No one stopped. No one cared for her plight. The salesman need to get a hold of my feelings too. The salesman knelt on the floor beside her, gathered up the apples, and put them into the baskets and helped set them on the display once again. As he did this, he noticed that many of them were bruised and battered. Those he sat aside in another basket. And when he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and paid the girl what those bruised and battered apples were worth, and said, "Are you okay?" She nodded through her continuing tears. As she began to walk away, the bewildered blind girl said, "Mister," he turned back and looked into her blind eyes, and she said, "Mister, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus?" That girl saw Jesus. That's what one of them see in us. Regardless how much we may have going, how badly we need to do something else, or whatever it may be, or how badly we're, whatever it is, we want to disappear inside of him so that all people see is Jesus. That's in Christ. John the Baptist, one time, he said, now, the essence of his story, of his message was, now I am come, and there's coming one after me, he said, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. I'm not even worried to kneel down and untie his shoestrings, let alone tie them. And he said, but now we're getting to the point. We're coming to the place where we're going to face the truth. He said, this is his words. He says, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That was Jesus' words. He was saying, now we're going to get to the... there's coming now a man after me. There's coming a dispensation after me that we're going to get down to what really matters. Why do you bear the fruit that you do? That's the Jesus. That was Matthew, or John the Baptist, one of his messages that he gave. Jesus then, a little later, when he was here, well, he was here then, but when he began talking, he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. He asks the question. It's an obvious answer. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. Do men gather figs of thistles? No. And he says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth, or neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And he says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. This is just a fact. This is just what Jesus, again, it's bearing witness to what John the Baptist said. He said that the root of the tree bears forth the fruit from the root. Again, my burden of my heart this morning is that we might rise above, that we might have something deeper within us that makes us do and not do the things that are unholy and ungodly. Do the things that are holy and godly. Something deep within me. Something that I don't have to be, I don't have to have the fences to keep me from going over into the neighbor's field there. I don't need those fences. I am satisfied with my pasture right where I am. I am happy there. And I am glad to be there. And I have no desire to look over there. We need to, there are times in our life, and we see situations and things that come out of our life, fruit in our life, when we say, that wasn't too good. And what do we do about it? I have found in my life, and probably you have too, I don't know. I found in my life that when my heart is turned towards the Lord, turn towards Christ, turn towards righteousness, holiness, turn towards what does the Bible say about this or that? When my heart is turned to that, I don't have near as much trouble with my flesh. When I lose the desire and I simply begin questioning what the Bible says, I lose my desire to look into the Word, to read the Word. I lose my desire to do those things that the flesh doesn't like to do, or not do those things the flesh does like to do. I find when I lose that kind of a heart, the flesh has a lot more control in my life. So why do we fall into sin? Why do we? We know it's not right. Every one of us here, largely, I say, have reached an age of accountability. They know, we all know what's right and what's wrong. Generally speaking, we do. So why do we? Well, first of all, I think we need to look at what we call sin. It's awful easy sometimes to call sin something that is just clearly sin, but not recognize that, and I've preached this before, but not recognize that that sin out here starts here. Starts way back here, some little thing. So one of the reasons we fall into sin is because we don't deal with it when it's little. One of the reasons we fall into gross sin or even whatever it may be is because we allow our flesh to have its way and it's not dealt with when it's small. When it's small, when it's little. When you really think, well, that doesn't matter so much. Or we become a little lax in our requirements of ourselves, and we just kind of let that one go. That's one of the reasons people fall into sin. Obviously, the reason is because there's a devil out there, and you went back in the Garden of Eden and all that whole story there. You know all that. Obviously, that's the root of it, the devil. But we have, again, John the Baptist told us, Jesus told us, we have the responsibility now to look at the root. What is causing this thing? We're not waiting on God to do something. God has already done what he can do. He's waiting on us to get a hold of the grace he has to offer to overcome these things. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And he says, he goes on and says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That's the man that's in Christ. That's the man that has an inspiration, has a motivation within his heart. He wants to walk like Jesus. He wants to be like him, and that's all he wants to be. That kind of a man. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I already told you, I think one of the first things we need to do is call sin, sin. Whatever, be it little, be it big, it's still, if it's heading towards sin, call it sin. If you know you're being distracted by something on your phone, call it sin. Call that distraction sin. That's how you can overcome. And other, I don't want to pick on the phone. There's lots of other things too, and I'll get into some of those things a little later here. But call it sin. Second, and I maybe I'm out of order here, but I'd like to put them in this order. One thing, we have to recognize ourselves as sinners. Call it sin. The second thing is, we must be risen with Christ. We must commit our heart and life to him. We must give that acknowledgement verbally and actively. That's the second thing we can need to do in order to get in Christ, to be in Christ, to be one of these people who, you know, to be one of these people who just simply, it just seems like they're just good people. You've met people like that. They're just good people. They don't say anything wrong, doesn't seem like. They don't even think anything wrong. And well, I'm sure they have their struggles, and I'm sure they've dealt with things. And that's why they are where they are. That's who we want to be. And I'm not saying we're not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're not. Each one of us, I'm asking us to evaluate our own selves within our own selves. We're not looking at anybody else. We're looking at our own selves. Who am I? And what is my, who am I really, really? The other day we was talking with a brother and he said, all I want for my life is to honor my Lord. That's all I want. To glorify my God. That's all I want. Amen. Can we all say that? We probably, if I asked you to raise your hands and you say that's what your life is about, you'd say yes. And I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But at the same time, might there be, we all still have our flesh to deal with. Might there be, the desire will be there. Is the practice there? Is the practice, really, that I have only one desire in my life, to honor my Lord. And that, a lot could be said about that, but I'll go on. Jesus said, I do only the will of my Father. That's all he did. And he said, come follow me. Come, do what I do. Do what I do. Jesus said also one time, he said in Matthew 7 verse 21, he says, not every one of them that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's who enters the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? He then says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Get away from me. I don't want you here. Ye that work iniquity. Wow. None of us ever want to hear that, and none of us want any one of us to ever hear that either. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he goes on and says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rock, the floods came, like we sang this morning here, and the winds blew, and the house stood firm. But I want to make a point here that just to say, Lord, Lord, is not enough. Just to verbally say the things that the right things, it's good, but it's not enough. There needs to be something coming out of the heart, something coming out here that motivates you to do the right things. Again, in Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13, he talked about the 10 virgins there. And the essence of the story is that we must be ready for him to return at any time. That's the essence of the story. We must be ready for him to return at any time. I want to tell you another little story that I read a while back. There was I didn't write out the whole story here. There was a coastal fishing town, I don't know when it was, some years ago, obviously, because they didn't have the communication that we have today, where the whole town basically were fishermen. And all the men went out one day in their different boats and various giant boats, and there came up a storm. And it was a storm, a very severe storm, to the extent that the people back in town, the wives, the children, the people back in town, wondered who was going to come back or if they were going to come back. Then one day, I don't know how many days later it was, everything calmed down. The people went out to the dock and they began watching, looking. Are they coming? Will my husband's boat come back? Eventually, they all came back. That's the good part of the story. They all came back, and Joe, when he got back to the dock there and got on the shore, and he looked around for his wife. Everybody else's wife was there, and children were there, all excited. They all got home and glad. Joe's wife wasn't there. Well, okay, he said. So he went home, figuring she'd be there. And she was. And Joe asked her, she said, "Why weren't you watching?" Oh, she said, "I was waiting." There's a difference between waiting and watching. We're all waiting. We all know that there is a time when we'll be called home, when we'll be called into the judgment bar. But the question is, are we watching? There's a difference. Watching means that you are anticipating what's going to happen. You're anticipating his return. You're anticipating, you're looking forward to it, instead of being a bit uncaring and just waiting. Watching. And Jesus said, he said one time in one place, he said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." These 10 virgins, their purpose, the little story Jesus told there was, he wanted us to know that there's a difference between waiting and watching. The ones who were watching had their lamps filled and they were ready. The ones who were just waiting, they didn't. There's also in that same chapter there the story of the 10 talents that Jesus told. One of the motives of that story is he tells us to be careful with what we have. What we have, take care of it and be diligent and obey your master and give him what he deserves. That's one of the lessons in that story. And that's a good one. And when they did that, they were rewarded. For one had five, one had ten. I'm kind of forgetting the story right here. I didn't bring the scripture out here. But they were rewarded. But there's one that didn't do what he knew he should do, and he was reprimanded. He didn't do what he knew he should do. He was reprimanded. You know, we all have different abilities, different gifts, different ways of expressing ourselves, and different, even have different understanding of what dedication means. Dedication to the Lord. We all have different understanding of what dedication means. But Jesus said one place, he says, I'll just read the verse, Luke 12:48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. He that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. He didn't know. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. For unto whom much is given, unto him shall be much required. I wonder if you think you've been given a lot or just a little. When you really analyze what you've been given as far as the truth of what the word is, what have you received? Is it a lot or just a little? If it's just a little, Jesus said you'll be required little. If it's a lot, you'll be required a lot. And you're not the only one who's determining how much you've been given. He is also determining how much you've been given. Watching. Watching, watching, watching. Is our life filled with watching? Is our heart watching? Maybe we're just waiting. Some of us may well be waiting on... We talked with one couple one time that said, God just doesn't do anything. In essence, saying, it's not my fault where I am. It's God's fault. He doesn't do what I ask him to do. And that man today is still waiting. And he's not getting anywhere. God has done what he can do. He's waiting on us to take the step. I have some, what I'm going to call ABCs of being in Christ. When we're in Christ, we are appreciative and apprehendable. Apprehendable means I'm available to be taken. Lord, you can have me. I am appreciative. I am thankful for what I have. I am bold about dealing with sin. I am consecrated and committed. I am consecrated and committed. I am dedicated and devoted. I am excited and expectant. I am faithful and fearless. I am godly. I am holy and harmless. I am ignited, I am on fire, and I am innocent of walking in sin. I am just, justified, and joyful. That's who I am in Christ. I am kind and careful. I am loving and loyal. I am loyal. I will not betray my Lord. I will not betray my brothers and my sisters. I am loyal. I am loving. I am more concerned about others than myself. I am never wavering. I'm steady. I am open and occupied with holy things, righteous things. I am peaceful. I'm pure. I'm the same thing all the way through. No hypocrisy. I am quality and qualified. I am quality. I am renewed and restful. I am single-eyed and stable. I am trustworthy and truthful. I am unwavering, useful, and usable. I am, may I say, vivacious. There's something about me that is alive. I'm excited. I'm encouraged. I'm vivacious. Very vivacious. I am watchful and wary of changes that are destructive. I have an excellent spirit and exemplary in my Christian life and style, lifestyle. That's who I am in Christ. I am yearning for more. I'm yearning for more. I am zealous and full of zeal. That's the person, and there could probably be other things too, who is in Christ. Those who are committed, dedicated, sold out, given over. It's their life. That's who they are. In Colossians chapter 3, he starts out with this. If ye then, in other words, it's up to you. You have a decision to make, and you've probably made that decision. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. After you take care of yourself and all your other natural fleshly needs. Okay, we know that's not right. He's saying first, if you then be risen with Christ, if you are in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above. Those things that you love, those things that you seek after, those things that matter to you. Set your affection on those things above. That's what you're after. Anytime you talk to somebody, anytime you talk to me, I know we have to be practical in life. I know those kinds of things. I know that. And I'm not saying, my wife told me, don't be too hard on yourself this morning, but I'm going to be a little bit hard on myself here this morning. I haven't attained to all these things myself, but we're going there. We want to go there. Set your affection on things above. And then he explains what he means by that. Not on things on the earth. Jesus said it this way, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Where Christ sitteth on the... Excuse me, I already read that. For, he says, the reason you can do this, and the reason you can do this, is because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you can't do these kinds of things, I know I'm leaving out a whole bunch of things that probably should be said, then I would have to conclude that my life is not hidden with Christ in God. Something's wrong. And maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe there's kind of partially hidden and kind of partially exposed. And maybe there is. I don't know. But we're not going for the good enough. We're going for what God asks of us. And he's making a clear line in separation. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. There's going to be a day when we're going to know you by the fruits. It's not a matter of you obeyed all the rules just right, but your heart wasn't right. No, because the heart is what bears the fruit. It comes out of the heart. So the question is, or the point is, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The illustration's been given many times. This cup of water, if it's clear full, and you bump me and bump it, the only thing that comes out of it is what is in it. If I get disturbed about something or something happens and I get bumped, if what comes out of me is less than godly, less than what Jesus would have done, then I have to admit there's something less than that in me. Or I've said it this way before. I don't know where I got the illustration. I don't think I thought of it myself. You know what happens when you kick a dead horse? Nothing. Yesterday we was driving, and it was my fault and my problem. I'm exposing myself a bit here. Come up there to Five Pointville, coming off of Pleasant Valley Road there. There was a stop sign there before you get to the other stop sign right there at the main intersection. And it's so easy to just keep right on going through that stop sign. And I did. And there was another car coming, and I was going across here to this other stop sign. It's coming, another car coming, and I think it was a she. And she blew her horn. She just laid on her horn. And I was already in front of her, so I went on. She laid her horn a long time to after she was even passed. I'm not judging that lady, but I'm just simply saying, well, let me go on. Then, see, what was the other thing? Help me out. I don't remember. I don't know if it matters. But my point is just simply this, that, okay, I was wrong. I didn't stop the stop sign like I should have. But what came out of that lady, I hope doesn't come out of me. And you've probably all seen it. You drive, you might do something that you did nothing wrong, but somebody thought you did, and they might tell you somehow that you did it wrong. My point is, again, well, give me this other little illustration. We was also the same trip we was on yesterday, where we was going. We drove by a young man on a bicycle that had on looked like probably a cowboy hat of some sort. And maybe I'll skip over that one. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God, in God. Set your affections on Christ and his ways, not on things on the earth. Number one, what is our place and how do we attain to it? Set your affection on things above. Number two, verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is and covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Let me stop there. So the second thing we must do is deal with sin. If we're going to be risen with Christ, we need to deal with sin. He goes on, he says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. These are things we need to do. We need to deal with these things. We need to put these things off. It's not like we can all of a sudden now, I'm going to be in Christ and I am going to not have any more problems. The devil's still alive. Put off these things. These are things to put off. Number four, Colossians 3:10. He says, and put on the new man. Put on the new man. Dig out the old root. Plant a new tree. Let that root be something that bears good fruit. The old root will not bear good fruit. Plant a new tree. Deal with the old thing. Get the root out of there. Then plant a new tree. He says, put on the new man. Make a choice. Make a change. He says, my grace is sufficient. Regardless what the depth of your sin or the depth of your depravity, how you feel about yourself, all this kind of thing, regardless of that, he says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man, because Christ is all in all. I skipped some. Whether there is Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on the new man. It doesn't matter who you are. Put on the new man. And he says, and Christ is all in all. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. These are the things that we need to put on. We're not necessarily just trying to not do the things we shouldn't do. We're putting on things. We're doing things that we should do. We're letting those kinds of things influence us and become us. That's the motivation that we're trying to motivate you, me, to do. That these things are prominent and prevalent and powerful in our life. Those kinds of things is what God is looking for when he says fruit, good fruit. He wants those kinds of things. Merciful, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. Forgive one another. That's the kind of a spirit we're talking about. That kind of a spirit will will keep you from running into the fence or pushing the fences. This kind of a spirit that wants only to walk with God, to walk with Christ, to have humbleness of mind, all those kinds of things, those kinds of things. And then he goes on and says, put on above all things, put on charity, put on love, put on that attitude that is kind and all these other things. Love kind of encompasses all those things. Put on that kind of a spirit. And maybe I could say this, put on the love of Jesus. Develop and cultivate that in your heart. He goes on and says, above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And be ye thankful, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, do it, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He gets even more practical. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Love them. Teach them. Be consistent. Be diligent. The lack of those things gives a child, they don't know for sure where they're going and what to expect. The lack of those things. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Those things, those men you work for, do what they ask. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, purposely and intentionally and with a dedication, doing those things. Doing it with your heart. You're not out there just to get a paycheck. You're out there to please your master, to do what he wants. And he goes on, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So are we in Christ? Are we in Christ? Am I in Christ? Do these things flow out of my life? And again, I probably said it too much. I'm not saying we don't need defenses. Sometimes we do. But my heart and motivation and my desire is that we might get a hold of this new heart within me. That is all those things I said, all those things the Bible says. It is full of love. It is full of compassion. It's holy. It's kind. And we could go down to Galatians 5 and go through the fruit of the Spirit there. and talk about all those kind of things. Those are the kind of things that we need to get established in our hearts. Establish them deeply and for the purpose of living them out. Not just because, yeah, that's good. We should try to do that and probably be that way. But that they would become us. All these things. Maybe I should turn there real quick here. Galatians chapter 5. Love. Joy. That strikes me pretty hard, I'll admit. Sometimes it's hard for me to be joyful. I can get kind of discouraged sometimes, as you all know. Joy. Peace. It's okay. It's okay. Doesn't matter what it is, it's okay. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit living in me is peace. Peace. I'm at peace. I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm at peace. Long-suffering. You'd think that guy would learn. You'd think that brother would learn. Long-suffering. This is the Spirit of Christ. Gentleness. Just gentle. Both in our words, our attitude, our spirit. Gentle. Just gentle. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. Against such there is no law. These things are right. They're good. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust of the flesh. God wants us to. Maybe some of us need to completely plant a new tree. Got to get out the old roots and just simply plant a new tree. Maybe the tree we're on is a good root. It's good reasons there. But sometimes there's some bad fruit shows up. Let's not justify anything. Take it for what it is. If it's sin, call it sin. If it's righteousness, thank the Lord. Let's stand together again and have prayer. Father, we've talked about a few things about how we should be, what it means to be in Christ. We just want to pray, Father, that we would accomplish those things, do those things, that the heart, our heart is so tuned, attuned to and towards your ways and your will, to the Spirit of God, that's what it is. That's what our heart is. We want only those things. Father, help us. That some of these distractions and sins that come into our life might be eradicated. That the motivation motivates from within us, in our hearts, motivate us to do right and be holy. Not because we know we shouldn't, but because we want to do right. We don't want to do those other things. They are an abhorrence to us. We abhor them. Help us, Father, to grow more and more into your likeness, into your image, to who you want us to be. May your kingdom come into our hearts, into our church, into our families, and your will be done. So that someday you can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In the name of your Son we pray. Amen. You may be seated.